I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we're going to talk about Romans chapter 13. We're going to talk about Christian pacifism. We're going to talk about a whole variety of different things on the program today. I've been on with Brannon House over at Worldview Weekend on his show for the past couple of days. Gone on to talk about the situation, what's happening in America, all these stories, because the radical left has not ceased their aggression. In fact, they've become even more and more inflamed since Hillary lost and Donald Trump became the next president of the United States. And it's just increasingly clear with all of the hostility through the media, what's going on in the colleges, the universities, etc., that this very leftist, socialist, Marxist, ultimately communist, I mean, in some cases, some of the people who are marching out there in the streets are flat out holding up communist flags. And it's all moving in the same direction. So this has sparked renewed conversations in what are the real founding principles of our country. What are the real founding principles? And this, of course, is the documentary that we're working on right now, The True Christian History of America. We sent out a newsletter talking about that. We just had a great interview with Dr. Peter Hammond, who writes about the Great Reformation. He has written somewhat about the Reformation's influence on the United States, the founding of America, and so on. He's also got a great essay out there on the right of Christian men to keep and bear arms. The article that he's got is very informative. And what's interesting, when I interviewed Dr. Hammond, we talked about this issue because he teaches on it and he's written about it, etc. He thinks it's very important. But something I did not know about him, when I got him on camera and asked him about this, he said that when he was a young believer, he was a Christian pacifist, that was his view of Christianity. And then as he studied the Bible more and he studied history more, he realized that view was incorrect. And so now he tries to reach out and talk to and teach others on this issue. Very, very, very important issue, because Christian pacifism is one of the elements that are responsible for the overrun of Christian societies and Christian countries. That's one of the reasons why Christians end up not only losing their lives at points, but sometimes losing their entire country and then are overwhelmed by socialists, communists, or Muslims. And then that part of the world has been taken over by the powers of darkness and evil, which typically then outlaw the preaching of the gospel. And so I believe, you know, and I've studied this issue for years. It's a complex issue. We're going to talk about it a little bit at a time. I wanted to mention something. I got a message on Facebook for our last program where I talked about Germany and Germany going after property rights because they're now confiscating private property for these immigrants that are coming into Germany continually. And apparently our last show was flagged by Facebook. They flagged it. Somebody sent me a message and said, "Chris, you know, your show's been flagged there on Facebook." And I had no idea exactly what that meant. I was trying to find out, what does it mean to have something flagged on Facebook? Well, According to an article on TheGuardian.com, TheGuardian.com over there in the UK, they've got an article that says, quote, Facebook to begin flagging fake news in response to mounting criticism. It says disputed articles will be marked with the help of users and outside fact checkers amid widespread criticism that fake news influenced the U.S. election. So flagging fake news on Facebook, this is something that Facebook itself is a part of. And here's what it says. It says, quote, Facebook will begin flagging fake news stories with the help of users and outside fact checkers, etc. The company announced on Thursday. This story came out December of 2016, just after the presidential election. Now, get this. It says, quote, Facebook is working with five fact-checking organizations, ABC News, AP, the Associated Press, FactCheck.org, PolitiFact, and Snopes to launch the initiative. Now, I've talked about Snopes before. I mean, these are generally liberal, left-leaning organizations, but Snopes is a very, very liberal, left-leaning organization. There, people used to go to Snopes all the time, and then it was exposed somewhere in the last couple of years that Snopes is a very, very liberal, left-leaning website. So bear that in mind if you're looking things up on Snopes and doing fact-checking and things like that. So interesting that we got flagged on this last story about Germany attacking property rights, all based on a Gatestone Institute article about what's being reported over there in Germany. That's all it is. But now it's being called into question. Even though, you know, we give the source, we're not hiding anything. Anybody can go look up the article. All we're doing is reporting what is being documented there in Germany. But now this Facebook thing. And they're supposedly going to be watching out for fake news because they're convinced that fake news is what got Donald Trump elected. The reality is, guys, that it is independent media that is a lot more honest because it's collectively not being controlled by corporations, by a handful of corporations who are effectively brainwashing everybody through mainstream media. And that, of course, is they don't like that. Facebook now is kind of part of mainstream media. Not entirely. See, Facebook, because you have so many different millions and millions of Facebook accounts and people can go on there and they can say generally what they want to say, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. The corporations that have ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, etc., they're much, much better able to control content and what is said to the American people. And I've talked about this before, how back in 1980, most 90% of the media that people see, television, news, movies, TV shows, radio, etc., things you see and hear, were controlled by about 50 different companies and corporations. 50, back in 1980. Then they began to merge, all these different mergers. And now you have six corporations that control 90% of what is mainstream media today. So that's why you have what seems like this cooperation between Hollywood and television and the news, etc., where quite often most of them are pushing the same agenda. That's why, like with the LGBT movement, they're pushing it in the news, they're pushing it on TV programs, they're pushing it in movies, they're pushing it on cable, because all of these companies are collectively owned by a handful of corporations. You know, I sometimes imagine that they've got six guys in a room, could have a meeting, and they could all decide, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to push this, 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 and this. And then they could just send out a memo to all their different producers and directors and so on, and then have them communicate whatever information they want them to communicate. And it certainly appears that if that's not what happens, something like that goes on because there's an obvious cooperation in mainstream media. Obvious. People have noted it for years. But it seems clear that's why it's there. Because you don't, but on the internet now, and with independent radio, independent media that has exploded since the internet came on the scene in the 1990s, independent publishing, the internet is like, to me, it's like the printing press. If you read about the influence of the printing press in the Middle Ages, where the Bible got out there, and not just the Bible was really the foundation of it, I believe. But then beyond that, the writings of the reformers, they would write pamphlets and essays and everything, and they would just be spread all over Europe. People would copy them over and over and over again. Everybody wanted to read them. They would go viral, if you will. But that was possible with the printing press because they could make hundreds and thousands of copies of something much, much more quickly than ever before. When you had to write everything out by hand, you can't so easily make thousands of copies and get them everywhere. So the printing press, widespread communication, this is what led to the Great Reformation once, and I believe it could lead to yet another Reformation in our time. And we're coming up here this year, 2017, on October 31st, will be the 500th anniversary of the Great Protestant Reformation. Praise the Lord. This is the year. And it's interesting, there are Catholics out there. You go to that website, the Church Militant. You go to the Church Militant website, which is a very hardcore conservative Catholic website. And they say a lot of things. You know, they're opposing a lot of the corruption that's going on in the Catholic Church and in the Western world and things like that. They have things to say that many conservatives would agree to, but if you listen carefully, especially to their president, Michael Voris, he argues the number one problem in the Western world is the Protestant Reformation. So bear that in mind, those of you who encounter the Church Militant website. They are vehemently anti-Protestant. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We're going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And If you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys. We are back. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. I wanted to mention, at least briefly, something that I talked about on the radio with Brannon earlier, having to do with Romans chapter 13, which is very, very important because there are those who have used Romans 13 to try and tell the Christian community that they have to give some kind of slavish obedience to government, no matter what kind of government it is. And I thought Brannon did a good job bringing that point up today. This is an issue that I've heard over and over again for years, and it's very important for Christians to understand. This was an issue during the time of the American Revolution. In fact, the motto, "Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God," is said to come from a sermon preached by Jonathan Mayhew on Romans chapter 13 in particular, in which he asserts, I believe quite rightly, that what Paul is describing really is the role of good government, that good government is the minister of God and represents that which is good and punishes that which is evil. But when governments become corrupt, they do it the other way around. They tend to defend that which is evil, and they end up persecuting those who are good. The classic example, of course, is what happened with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. They were persecuting the servants of the Lord. They had the servants of God put to death and killed and so on. They condemned an innocent man, Jezebel did, Naboth, because Ahab wanted his vineyard and he wouldn't sell it to him. And so Jezebel comes up with a false accusation against him, has him put to death. They were not ministers for the cause of good. They were ministers of evil and wickedness. And that's why God had them cut off. That's why he sent in Jehu to overthrow Jezebel. Well, Ahab had been killed earlier in a battle. And then when Jehu is sent, he's sent to cut off the entire house of Ahab. Ahab had sons that were reigning in the northern kingdom in Israel and the southern kingdom Judah. And then his wife, one of his wives, Jezebel, she was still as queen. And so Jehu goes in and has them all put to death and then cuts off the prophets of Baal. He destroys them. But why? Because they were not ministers of God for good. They were supposed to be. But they were ministers of evil and wickedness. And so that was the exception. That's the exception. The belief of our forefathers at the time of the American Revolution and even before, the thinking of your Reformed, Protestant, Bible-believing, Christian men and women, ultimately, going back to the Reformation, going back to Cromwell, the Glorious Revolution of 1688, and all the way through the American Revolution, their thinking was that collectively, it's what we have in the Declaration of Independence, the Declaration of Independence, which says that all men are created and that we're endowed by our Creator, who is God, with certain unalienable rights, and that governments are instituted among men for the purpose of securing those rights. In other words, rights that come from God, and our forefathers understood that to mean according to God's law. According to the laws of God. That's because otherwise, how are you going to define the Creator? How can you know what rights come from God? unless you have God's law to guide you. And so this is what they believed, and they all said so. And that governments are instituted for the purpose of upholding these things, but whenever any government becomes destructive toward that purpose, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish that form of government and to institute another. That's what our Declaration of Independence says. And this is what I talked about with Brannon on his program. And why is it important? Because we're seeing what's happening in Western Europe. We're seeing how the countries of Western Europe are being systematically betrayed by their leaders. They're being betrayed. They're literally the enemies of Christianity and Western civilization are being brought in by the millions, and systematically they're given power by these globalist leaders to take over these countries one step at a time. And while we're not as far down that path here in America, there's no question that the leftists and the Marxists and the jihadis in this country, that's exactly what they have in store for America. That's what they want for this country as well. That's what they're working on, even now. And even though Trump is in the White House and is really delaying, President Trump is delaying the radical left's agenda. He's holding it back, but they haven't given up. They haven't given up. And so it's important that we look to the Bible, that we look to the Holy Scripture, and we look to the witness of our forefathers, our Christian forefathers, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian forefathers, secular humanists, and people who don't want to bring God and the commandments of God into the equation ultimately are not going to be any match for the globalists, because they don't realize that secular humanism has been set up to get Christians to give up their Bible, to give up your Bible in a political debate. That's what they want you to do. They want you to surrender your Bible so that you will have no standard by which to oppose them. But that's not what our forefathers believed at all. Now, look at what's happening out there, brethren. Look at what's happening. Here's a story. There's a number of these stories. This is pretty startling. I didn't realize it was this bad. But this is according to Breitbart, a new article on Breitbart that says, quote, UK, United Kingdom, world's acid attack capital, assaults up 74% in 1 year. Acid attacks. This is well known in the Muslim world when Muslim men who think that women are supposed to be submissive in every, you know, virtually every circumstance, if a woman somehow or other makes a man angry, men feel perfectly justified to go grab some acid and pour it on the faces of these women. I mean, these are just horror stories. You go study some of these things. It's absolutely barbaric and horrible that anybody does anything like this, but this is a cultural behavior of Islam. And now they're saying, this article, the UK now has the highest number of reported acid attacks per person, with 1,800 assaults using corrosive liquid since 2010 in London alone, according to charity Acid Survivors Trust International. The number of assaults using acid and corrosive liquids in Britain grew 74% in the most recently recorded year, growing from 261 in 2015 to 454 in 2016. These figures mean Britain is now the nation with the highest number of acid attacks per head. And that's according to the organization that we mentioned earlier, according to this article, the organization that keeps track of these statistics. But Sweden is reported as the rape capital of Europe, some say the rape capital of the world. Now the UK has become the acid attack capital of the world, with hundreds of these acid attacks. And who's doing them? I mean, this is not ordinarily the behavior of Western civilization. This is not something that is some kind of a cultural trend that we find in historically Christian countries. But this is a very normal part of the wicked behavior in the Muslim countries of the world. And now this behavior among, you know, the rapes and the sexual assaults, etc., and trying to advance Sharia law, all of it is being brought, has been brought into the West. It's now become a significant problem in the UK. And God forbid that this problem makes its way into the United States. We need to be in prayer, brethren, that the Lord will protect our nation and deliver us from this wicked and evil globalist movement. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.